in 1 John 2, 1 John 3, 1 John 4, and 1 John 5. The Apostle John uses an expression, little children. It's an interesting expression, and tonight I'd like to use our time to study this expression, going through 1 John 2 all the way through 1 John chapter 5. The first time that we find this expression is in the second chapter of 1 John, the first verse, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Now, God does not tell us specifically why the Apostle John referred to little children several times in this book. But I do wonder, in conjunction with that question, this. The Apostle John, the fellow who wrote this book, plus 2 John, 3 John, the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Revelation, he was an apostle. And as an apostle, he spent a considerable amount of time with Jesus. If you look at the life of Jesus, you do find the Lord sometimes referring to little children. So it may be that John, as he heard the Lord, and later as he begins to write, maybe he adopted that language. Or there is another possibility, or maybe a second consideration here. When we look at John, as far as when he wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, the book of Revelation, we don't know exactly how old he was. But it is generally conceded by those who try to date Bible books and try to attach an age to Bible authors that John probably was advanced in years. Very old, certainly when we look at today's standards when it comes to age. If you listen to how older people talk when it comes to a younger generation, if you have, for example, a grandparent or an older person who may be in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and they're dealing with someone who is 10, 15, 20 years of age, sometimes they use a term of endearment, dearie or whatever they choose to use, but sometimes they will use wording which would be consistent with something like little child, and that may be exactly what John was doing here. But there are, as John is speaking to adults, and that's the people he's addressing by little children, they're Christians, adult men, adult women, and he refers to them as little children. And tonight, let's see what we can extract from these little children references. 1 John chapter 2, starting with verse 1. John says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye may not sin." And then he said, "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Those who have raised children, or maybe who are raising children, can identify with the first part of the verse. Towards the beginning of this passage, John said, "I write." That is, I have some information that I want to share with you. I have some information that I want to communicate to you. Well, what do you want to say, John? John's message to the little children, John's message to these Christians was, I don't want you to mess up. I don't want you to break God's law. I don't want you to sin. As we think about this in terms of little children, literally, in the secular realm, we try, I think, as parents, to communicate that same lesson to our kids. We try to tell our children, behave. Don't mess up. Try not to get into trouble. And when we offer that warning to children, and it's certainly a good and right warning to make, we can also, as we think about 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, look at our own selves. God sees us as little children. And as his little children, he says to us, try not to mess up. Try not to make mistakes. Try to behave. Live your life as a Christian. And then as we look at 1 John 2, verse 1, there's something else in this verse that merits attention. John told his little children, he said, you behave. You live in the right way. But John knew that his little children, he knew that Christians would not be perfect. So John says to them, when you fail, he says, if you fail, but really the sense of that is when you fail, he said, I want you to remember this. I want you to remember that as you try to live the Christian life as a little child of God, there are going to be times where you make mistakes, but there's also going to be help. You may really mess up at times. You may, as you try to live the Christian life for God, you may foul up in some ways that right now you just can't imagine. But John says, let me tell you this. There's someone who is there to help you during those times. There is Jesus. He's going to serve as your advocate. He's going to help you deal with the bad behavior. I'm going to kind of flip back and forth tonight as far as little children from the Christian standpoint and little children as far as what we actually have in the secular realm. But thinking about this for a moment in terms of a small child, can you imagine what it would be like to grow up in a home, to be a child, and our parent or our parents deal with us in terms of 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. A child is told you need to behave. We have some rules. There is a code of conduct in this house, and you need to abide by this information. But also bear this in mind. If you fail when it comes to the rules, to the code of conduct that we have for living under this roof, I want you to know something. I want you to know that there are going to be times where you mess up. And when you mess up, I want you to realize that you can come talk to me. You can come talk to us, and we're not going to throw you out of the house. We're going to discuss this in a rational, in a reasonable way, and we can deal with it. We can fix it. Now, that promise is not a license to do whatever you want. We're not telling you that you can go out and just run wild, and we're going to say that's fine. That's not what we mean. But we do mean that when you foul up and that time will come, we want to help you through that event. Can you imagine how you'd feel as a child? I hope that's the kind of childhood that you had. But if you didn't, and you can help a child have that kind of home environment, that is an ideal environment for a child, where he or she or they can feel safe and truly loved. When a Christian sees God in this way, and that's what John is telling his readers, he or she will then have a healthy relationship with God. There are some great parallels between small children, literally, and small children spiritually, that is, adult Christians who are God's people. If we were to communicate the information in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1 to a small child, we might find that that child asks a question. Thinking in terms of how the mind of children works, how the mind of kids work, a child might be inclined to ask if our offer is really true. Now, Dad, you've given me this code of conduct, you've said obey, and you've said if I violate your code of conduct, there's going to be help, there's going to be assistance. You'll see me through this. The child might reason this way. What if I do something that's really bad? What if I don't make a big mistake? What if I make a really big mistake? What if I do something that I know would make you really angry? You see that favorite lamp? I know you've told me to be careful around the lamp. I know you've told me that that lamp is as precious to you as any other object in the house. Dad, what if I break? Mom, what if I break your favorite lamp? I can envision a small child asking that question. I can also envision a Christian asking a similar question. If you turn over to 1 John 2, if you want to follow the references tonight, let's move down a little further into the chapter and see what we find in 1 John chapter 2, but now looking at what we have in verse 12. John said, I write unto you, my little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I've been preaching long enough to know that there are in virtually every congregation Christians who have some questions that they don't ask. Now, the reason for that can vary from place to place, person to person, but that is invariably true. And I would further state that in some congregations there are some people who'd like to ask a question about forgiveness, but for whatever reason, they don't ask it. And the question typically would be this: can God forgive me of? And you can just fill in the blank with whatever comes to mind. Or a Christian might say, will God forgive me of? Not can he forgive me of this, but I've done this, and I want to know, can and will God forgive me of this sin? Well, John answers these questions in 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. John says, your sins are forgiven. Child, or maybe a Christian says, well, my sins seem to be pretty small. They don't seem to be nearly as large or as substantial as somebody else's. Will God forgive me? Your sins are forgiven. So when we think about what might be termed as small sins, yes, they can be fully forgiven. But someone says, well, my sins don't seem all that small to me. I mean, I have really messed up. I've broken the lamp, so to speak. My sins are big. You can't imagine how big they are. You can't imagine the enormity. They are the biggest of all. John's answer is unchanged. Small, medium, or large, if we can put a size to sin, John says your sins are forgiven. So John says, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, behave in the right way. But if you don't behave in the right way, there is a way out. There is help available. And even the big messes, 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, they can still be addressed by God. And hopefully we have that kind of environment when it comes to raising kids. That information is good news. It's good news to a young person in a Christian home. But it's also good news in the spiritual realm. And after John makes these points, he moves down a little bit more in his discussion of little children, and goes on to say this in the very next verse, 1 John chapter 2, verse 13. He says, I write unto you, fathers, because ye know him who is from the beginning. I write unto young men, because ye have overcome the evil one. And then here we have another little children reference. He said, I've written unto you, little children, because you know the Father. John, as he addressed these Christians, he said, I want you to know that you know someone. And you know someone who's really important. He said, you know the Father. Well, let's see if we can take this knowledge of the Father, 1 John 2, verse 13, and relate it to what we've already looked at from 1 John 2, verse 1, and 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. Imagine a human father interacting with a small child. We'll say the child is 8 years old. And the child has some concerns, so one day the dad pulls the child aside and asks the child point blank, do you trust me? Child says, well, yes. And the dad says, I want you to think back to some of the things that we've discussed, the items that we're talking about tonight. The dad says to the 8-year-old, what have I told you multiple times And what have I promised you? Did I not tell you that I have a code of conduct for living in this house? John says, well, yes, you have a code of conduct. And did I not, with that code of conduct, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, tell you that you would not be perfect? John says, well, yes, we discussed that too. And did I not tell you that forgiveness could and would be made available? 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, well, Dad, yes, we talked about that. And then the dad says, what do you think of me? Do you know me? Am I trustworthy? Can you believe my word? And the child says, yes. Dad, I know you. I've seen you in action. Can you imagine the benefit that the child receives from that in a literal home growing up? Hard to match it. But God says in the spiritual realm, a similar thing is true for us. When it comes to knowing God's law, breaking God's law, and then forgiveness, John said, you know the Father. You know he's reliable. You know he's trustworthy. You know that you can depend on him. So the system that he has set in place is a system that we can believe in. When we need that forgiveness, it's available, and we know that because we know the Father. As we continue to move a little more deeply through the book of 1 John, we still find some more of these little children references in 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, moving down to verse 18. I do not know if when John was being guided by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit and John intended to connect these references, but I do believe that they're linked. And I think as we study these in the order that they were given, that we can see a connection. It's almost like they're building blocks. John starts it with 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. He gives some more information, some more information, some more information. And if we look carefully, we can see a connection between all these. Now, thus far, John's told his little children, I want you to do right. And if you fail to do right, remember that help is available. When you fail, the Father is always going to be there. He's always going to be reliable. Now we find from that 18th verse this, little children. He said, I want you to know it's the last hour. And as you heard that Antichrist cometh, even now, he says there have arisen many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last hour. When we think about small children, if we're trying to teach them, we try to teach them, now is the time to learn to obey. Now is the time to do what's right. But sometimes, in the minds of a child, we have the attitude, well, I'll make things right someday. Oh, sure, that's the right thing to do. It's good to be obedient. And one day I'll follow Mom, I'll listen to Dad and so forth, and I'll get on the right road. The Father's good, but today's not the day to obey Him. God says that's not the right way to live. Not the right way to live for a small child, not the right way to live in the spiritual realm. God says to His people, it is the last hour. The time to obey is now. Now, you might look at those words and think, well, what did John mean when he said it's the last hour? These words were written almost 2,000 years ago, and there have been a lot of hours in the last 2,000 years. Well, here's a figurative expression. We shouldn't understand hour literally. It doesn't literally mean a 60-minute period of time. Here you have last hour being used to describe the last age. There's not going to be another era. The Christian dispensation is going to be it. There's not going to be any other time period. And John says the best period has come. The time to be a child of God is now. There's not going to be any benefit by delaying. We also, as we look at the verse just read, see a reference to Antichrist. A lot of people, and especially this is true today with all of the war and difficulties, famines going on in the world, people think that some big Antichrist is going to show up, maybe over in Jerusalem or Russia or maybe in the United States, or we're going to have a president that's the Antichrist. A lot of different ideas about that. But notice, if you will, from the verse just read that John uses the plural. Not just Antichrist. And not just in the future, John talks about his day. Now, he says, not just an Antichrist, but he says there are Antichrists, plural. The word Antichrist shouldn't shake us up. It shouldn't bother anybody because it's a lot like a word that we use when it comes to smoking. We talk about anti-smoking. We talk about anti-abortion. We talk about anti-war. We have a lot of anti-words. Anti is a prefix which simply means against. So if a person is anti-smoking, they're against smoking. If a person is anti-abortion, they are against abortion. When we thus have someone referred to as an antichrist, that simply means that they are against Christ. When we look at our world now, there are many forces, many people who are against Christ. In John's day, there were also many antichrists, many people who were against Christ. So John says to his little children, he said, I want you to know that. I want you to know this. As you're trying to live according to the Father's will and you're following the procedures that he's outlined, you remember this. There are some bad people in the world. There are some people who do not want the best for you. Now, that is also typically a lesson that we try to communicate to our children. We try to let them know that there's a good, loving home here. The father, the mother, they love the kids. Stay with us, never stray. There are some dangers, though, out there in the world. And John related that same point to the little children of God. Oh, yes, they were adults. But John said, realize that maybe you're over the age of 20, 30, 40, 50, whatever it might be. But John said, there's still danger out there in the world. And as a child of God, be aware of that. As he continues, same chapter, but moving down now a few verses to what we find in 1 John 2, verse 28, towards the end of 1 John 2. He says, and now, my little children, there are those bad forces out there in the world, 1 John chapter 2, that we saw earlier. And now John says this, I want you to abide in him, that if he shall be manifested, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. John said, I want you to abide in the Father. This is the place of safety, refuge. This is the place where you need to stay. You may mess up, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, but there's going to be help available. God wants to forgive all your sins and keep you in the right spot, in the right area, and you need to abide in him. Don't delay. As we saw earlier in 1 John chapter 2, when it comes to being in the Father. When we start to develop the little children references in 1 John, it almost seems like God is giving us a mini summary of the gospel. He says, here's what you need to do to live as a Christian. Here's what you need to do to continue to be in a right relationship with me. So John uses this expression multiple times in 1 John chapter 2. And then as you turn over to the next chapter, 1 John chapter 3, he continues this discussion about little children. 3:7. He says, my little children, let no man lead you astray. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Once again, building on the Antichrist reference, John says to these Christians, he said, there are some people there in life who'd like to lead you astray. John says it was a great danger. When we think about this in terms of small children, it's also true, is it not? Do we not see times where little children are led astray, deceived? Someone tries to pull them away? We know that to be true. This is a real threat in today's world, and it's a threat that parents and grandparents often warn kids about. But God says to his people, with this little children reference, you're just like kids. With me, there's shelter, there's rest, there's safety, there's protection. Even if you mess up in some really big ways, you're still welcome in my home. Abide with me and be safe. But as you're there, realize that there are going to be people out there in the world, antichrists. People want to lead you astray. They want to pull you out from that place of safety. And not just you, but also some members of your spiritual family. God wants his people to grow. He wants them to mature. But also they need to be careful because they are like little children as they go through life. And John says, as you're going through this process, as you're like little children in your life, I want you to remember that you not only need to watch these things, but you also, as you go through life, need to make sure that you're living in the right manner. Sticking with 1 John chapter 3, but moving down now, several more verses. Let's see what we find in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. He said, my little children, don't love in word, don't love with the tongue, but I want you to love in deed and in truth. John said to his people, I want you to grow. Don't be like the novice that we talked about this morning, the person who needs milk for a while but fails to grow. But John said, I want you as a little one, as a child of God, I want you to learn more and more about the subject of love. I want you to learn more and more when it comes to deed and truth, works and actions, what's right. Ideally, as we look at the secular world, our children will follow this exact same path. As the days go by, they'll be exposed to some evil influences in the world, but those evil influences will be diminished. And their information about God and being one of his people, spiritual information, will continue to grow and become more and more a part of their life. They will grow to the point where what's described in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, will be true. And here's what John says there, that fourth chapter. He says, ye are of God, not of the world. He says, you're of God, my little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. John said to these little children, let me tell you who you are. You're of him. You're of the Father. You have reached the point now where you are relatively strong Christians. You've overcome the world. Now, at that time, that was not completely true. They were still living upon the earth. The devil was still after them. But at this point, they had done very, very well as the little children of God because they'd followed the instructions given by the Apostle John. And John said, the one who's working with you, in you, and through you is greater than the one that is in the world. When you look at the book of 1 John, you really see, when it comes to little children, both in the spiritual realm and the secular realm, purity, beauty. And that's certainly true when it comes to Christians. The devil hates that. We know he hates that with literal children because he's out trying to corrupt them. When we look at Satan, we know that he infected some people with demonic possession who are young people. He wants to do everything that he can to destroy small children. But you know, he's also interested in destroying the little children who are little children in the spiritual sense. And that's why in our last passage, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, John, as he once more talks about little children, he says, I want you to do something. I want you to guard yourselves from idols. You've come so far. You've lived the Christian life. You've understood the truth. You're trying to apply that, but still the devil is after you, and you need to make sure that you watch out and avoid the traps that he wants to set. Satan never quits when it comes to turning people from the gospel. Last week, we introduced the idea of children, how important they are, the fact that they need to be trained and taught. Tonight, we see from the book of 1 John that when it comes to children, God uses them. He uses that image to describe the kind of life that we should live. A life where, as God looks at it, because we have that forgiveness through His Son, there's purity, there's beauty, there's holiness, and God says, you're mine. I value you. I trust you. Tonight, if we were to look at our life in terms of a little child, what would the picture look like? We sometimes hear people referring to children as little terrors, holy terrors, some things on wheels. Is that the kind of life that we're living? Are we someone who is like that little child? As you look at the child, there's that purity, there's that beauty, there's that innocence, there is that desire to do right and to please the Father. It's a powerful image, and it's an image that God has used. Are we, as we look in our lives, really trying to live a life which is like that small child? To come to God and say, here I am. I have some flaws. I have some imperfections. But God, look on my heart and see that heart as being like a child who wants to live in the right way. That should be the goal that we have every single day. If it's not, it may be because we're not yet a Christian. Tonight we can change that. If we've got faith in Christ, we're willing to turn our lives around. Remember that Jesus said we're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven unless we become like a little child? Well, that's true. We're not going to enter into the kingdom without confessing Him, without being baptized into Him, and having every single sin washed away. And then we can start following the little children pattern that John gives us in 1 John. Maybe we become a Christian, and for some reason we've decided that the righteous little child is not the way that we wanted to live. We've headed in the wrong direction. Tonight, will we not turn things around and be like a little child who gives us great joy, and we look and say how wonderful you are? Let's be that little child in God's sight that pleases Him. If we can help you do that or assist you in another way, we let us know as we stand and sing the selected song. There's a great day.